Morris is like Barry without the good hair genes, and then Robin is just like, there's so much happening with that face.
Welcome to Highly Questionable, which turned into a show about the Bee Gees when I wasn't looking. Dominique Foxworth, Sarah Spain, let's go.
Well, we're just staying alive.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow, that was bad.
Are you buying that James Harden and KD will work because they're grown men now?
All right, so we had a good one last night between the Bucks and the Nets. Kevin Durant, just incredible, coming off an Achilles tear in a way that we did not think was possible. And James Harden, looking like he actually enjoys playing with another person. And so after the game, this was the thing he had to say, is that, hey, they're not the young guys they were in Oklahoma City. They don't just want to run and dunk now. He feels like they're more grown. They know what they want to do. They know what they want to get out of this. And that's all fun and games until Kyrie comes back. Like, I don't think any of us really had that much of a question about how James Harden and Kevin Durant would get along, because that's one that could be easily figured out. If we've learned anything about Kevin Durant in the course of his career, is that he can play with another ball-dominant player. The question is going to be how two ball-dominant players can play with one another, and then you've got Kevin Durant over on the other side also. So I do think the maturity probably helps at this point with them. Who knows what it would have been in like year five if those guys had stayed in Oklahoma City and James Harden was trying to be the level of star that he wanted to be while being surrounded by other people. That might not have worked so well. Now, no, this can work, at least until Kyrie comes back.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure that it didn't work last time. What was the suggestion, that they were too young? Like, it worked last time. They got to the finals, and then they traded away Harden. So we're not sure what would have happened, but I think you're right. The maturity combined with the pelts on the wall, because they both have their kind of legacies already set, it helps to be able to have proven that you can carry a team, even if it's not to winning a championship, but you can carry teams deep into the playoffs on your offensive ability. Both of them have done that at different times, so I think that helps. And now the important thing is just winning. And I think the points he was making about knowing your spots and understanding the game, of course that helps. When you're smarter, you're more experienced, it allows you to be more efficient in your movements and help other people out. So there's no reason to believe that this can't work. But the problem is that maturity extends to both of those players. We're not so sure how much that extends to that third player. I'm not sure that I would call him immature, but I'm certainly not going to jump out there and say that he is mature. So, but Monty's right. This looks great right now. We'll see what happens when Kyrie comes back, not just because he's ball dominant, but because he is mercurial. That's the word we're using, I think.
Yeah, let's go with that. Let's go with that. I agree with both of you, right? There's so much more of a dynamic here once Kyrie returns. And there's more of a dynamic to consider 3 months from now, right? This is a whole lot of fun right now, the first couple games. And it is an incredible reminder that of all the sports, I would say basketball is the one where it's easiest to just drop a star on the court, maybe not have him fully caught up on exactly how your team goes, and still be able to dominate, especially when they have a history like these two guys do. And to your point, Dominique, yeah, they made the finals. It's not like they were bad before, but I absolutely believe that what Harden's saying about the basketball side of things is accurate, right? They are more mature. You guys see that Bee Gees documentary? It's fantastic. But it's kind of like when parts of a band separate and go and try to be solo, and then they come back and they're much more appreciative of each other and the success they can have as a band when it doesn't work out quite the way they thought it would on their own. And that's what James Harden is feeling right now. Because for Kevin Durant, that team got split up and he goes and gets his title. Harden's still looking for that. So he comes back with a different mindset of, I need you to get me the thing that I want. The issue, of course, again, to your point, is when Kyrie comes back, what happens?
Which BG is Kyrie?
The one with the teeth that was always feeling like maybe he didn't quite get the same genes as the other two.
You watched the whole damn Robin? Documentary and you can't remember which one of them
Robin.
Is
Robin. It's Robin, right? I wasn't paying attention to their names. I was enjoying the music, Bo. Robin, the one with the teeth, right?
Should we make a big deal of Steph's clutch three over Anthony Davis last night?
Hey, man, the Warriors looked terrible until Draymond Green came back, and you can look at all his scoring numbers and think that he is terrible too, except for the fact that the Warriors are so much better for the fact that they have him. So, yeah, it's kind of cool that Steph hit that shot on Anthony Davis, and Anthony Davis hasn't scored 20 points in the last four games. I'm sure that's disappointing for you if you are the Lakers. But at some point, people like me who did raise that question about Steph Curry, about he could raise your ceiling, how much does he raise that floor? You get Draymond Green with him, and all of a sudden, even if they don't look great, they have moments where they look like the Warriors that we thought we knew, even without Klay Thompson being there. And I have to say, I have found it incredibly impressive that they have done this much, especially winning this game against this Lakers team, who came out of that game still making you feel like, damn, they're really good. So was Steph Curry.
Yeah, there's two reasons why we should make a big deal out of this. One, it was an incredible shot. It's not just who he shot it over, but the quickness of the release, the step back, everything else was impressive. So absolutely, we should make a big deal when someone makes a shot like that. Two, I think we need to get back to really appreciating what we're seeing with Steph Curry. They might not have the dynastic run they had before. Maybe we'll never see them be back on top the way they were. But this guy plays basketball in a way that it is so much better for the league and for fans when he is out there balling and doing his thing. So we can't take that for granted, even if the team isn't that great. Yeah. But to what Bomani was saying, this Lakers team is a problem. And the fact that they lost this game is probably just because they got bored in the middle for a while and they weren't that efficient. Not because they can't win every single game that they play. I know it's tough when we get front runner about teams. They tend to find a way to implode. But this Lakers team is stacked. And yeah, maybe we should just be excited because there aren't going to be that many times that they lose.
Yeah, I think they lost or they missed like 10 shots in a row in the fourth. So it does feel like more of a Lakers collapse. But the Warriors did their part. They were hitting great shots. I think I saw Looney hit a three at some point, which is impressive. But yeah, that shot is big. I don't make that big a deal of it because Steph Curry does stuff like that all the time. So, yeah, I guess I'm taking it for granted, but I'm desensitized to it. Stop hitting shots from the sticker if you want me to get excited when you hit a shot from the sticker. So, like, it is incredible. It's impressive. It's fun. But like you, Sarah, I'm more kind of inclined to focus on the Lakers in this. And watching that game, despite the fact that they lost, I just was so impressed with how good that team is with LeBron off the floor. It prompted me to go look at his minutes, and this is the lowest minutes per game that he's played in his entire career, and this team still looks incredible. The Schroeder edition. See, I messed it up now, too, because you were talking about the Schroeder edition. Before the show, I was nailing Schroeder.
I was like, nice work. You got his name right.
I was nailing Schroeder, and then I just, out of nowhere, get choked up, get the lemon booty when the light comes on and call him the wrong name, which the Lakers are not doing. They are a great team, and I think, yes, let's celebrate Steph's big shot. Yes, let's celebrate the development of Wiseman and addition of Draymond Green. They are fun, but the Lakers going to win the title.
Should we give Stephen Cohen any credit for firing Jared Porter or be concerned that he hired him 35 days ago?
All right, Jared Porter was the general manager of the Mets for those 35 days that were just stated. He'd worked with the Cubs before, and a woman who was covering the Cubs, who was from another country, had made the acquaintance of Porter, and he sent her a series of just ridiculous text messages. At one point, 62 text messages unanswered. We're talking about pictures that involve a pair of pants with a bulge in them, a picture of an erect penis naked exposed before them. And yeah, that's the thing that gets you fired. You don't get credit for firing somebody for something like that once you find out that it has happened. Now, with Cohen, it becomes interesting because his company had received a pretty significant gender discrimination lawsuit at some point, which was a red flag that made people wonder if he was the guy who even should have been allowed to buy the Mets in the first place. The real question we're going to have to go back and ask is, the Cubs, what about you guys? Because apparently they say we didn't know about this until today. If you didn't know about this until today, then everybody needs to figure out around them how it is that this woman would not feel at all comfortable to let you know that your guy was behaving in this way, because this was indefensible. There is no excuse you can make for it. And so good for the Mets that they fired him, but only good because it would have been so terrible if they hadn't.
Yeah, I see your point, Bo, and absolutely the Cubs need to answer to how this guy would work under them and they wouldn't be aware of his behavior and at least make clear that they weren't aware of it and they weren't helping cover it up. The answer to why she might not feel comfortable is not specific to the Cubs or even baseball. This is endemic of the situation because we have a society that has proved over and over again that even if you are in the right when you accuse someone of something, even if they admit to doing it, you might very well see your own career tanked by the decision to go forward with it. So I'm not letting the Cubs off the hook. I'm not letting the Mets off the hook. I'm not letting Steve Cohen off the hook. And I'm certainly not letting Porter off the hook. But I do think there is a very nuanced and difficult conversation to have about the many women, countless of whom ended up in my direct mentions, my direct messages, saying that they had their own story like this. Or can I get a message to this woman and tell her she's not alone? Because we've all had it. And most of us have decided not to report it for the very obvious reasons that we don't want our careers ruined by what somebody did to us that we didn't ask for and that we didn't deserve. And I don't know what the answer to that is. To keep exposing them, yes. And to keep fighting for this not to be a culture that's allowed, yes. But beyond that, there are too many instances where we've seen women come forward and have to pay the price.
How many messages before you stop writing people messages? Like that, all of this, you have covered all the most important parts of this story. The one part that keeps jumping out to me is what type of depraved person in your mind do you send a message that doesn't get a reply? And then, according to the accuser, send 59 more messages, some of which are lewd, and you keep sending them because you're like, huh, maybe that last one didn't hit the spot. Sooner or later, I'm gonna get her attention with this one. Like, that to me speaks to some sort of personal failing. And yeah, obviously there's societal failing that suggests that it was ever appropriate in the first place. But I understand that maybe sometimes workplace romance takes place and some people believe that can happen to them, but that's not what this was. There's no defense for what happened here. This seemed to be a power dynamic that he was using to, or he's trying to use to exploit that power dynamic to get some things that he wanted. And when it didn't go his way, rather than backing off and apologizing and getting back to his job, he kept doubling and tripling and 60ing down to get the things that he felt were owed to him. That to me speaks to his character as much as it speaks to the organizations that he has been a part of.
Just quick, it's a societal issue too, because of the idea that there is this entitlement. I want that thing. You said no. I'm not taking no for an answer. It's the problem that we have with incels. It's the problem that we have with telling men and boys, if you don't get X or Y, then you're not a real man. We need to address that in a larger societal way, because it trickles down into situations like this where he feels like, no, that's the thing I want, so I'm not going to stop.
Yeah, he wasn't just giving it a try and just seeing where it would go. He saw where it went. Nowhere. And kept going and kept going and kept going.
Up next on HQ.
Because of people like you. So he probably went to the sideline. His teammates were like, what the hell are you doing? And then he came out there and did that. You took away D'Angelo's fire, his fight, his desire to win every play. You killed it. Now, if he's not an all-star, it's going to be because of people like you clowning him for doing his best.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Pizza Hut. Order today at pizzahut.com. Do you question if D'Angelo Russell deserves credit for not giving up?
All right, the Timberwolves got smoked last night by the not-so-bad Atlanta Hawks. Let's get a look at D'Angelo Russell in the last minute of the game.
Oh, wow.
Why are you doing that? Hold on, what is the other thing that he was clearly mad at? Like, that did not happen in a vacuum. Something had him at that place. What?
That man just is playing every play like it's his last. That's what you say. Play all plays like you're in a championship moment, like it's your last play. Don't pay attention to the scoreboard. You always got to put good film on tape. Don't y'all believe in all these nonsense cliches that y'all spew about? The man is playing through the echo of the whistle. I respect it. Keep doing your thing, D'Angelo.
No, this is absolutely silly, just like the announcer said. This is ridiculous, and Bamani is 100% right. He is mad about some play that happened two quarters ago, and this was finally his chance to get back at him for it.
Ridiculous. Don't give up.
Maybe he got an incentive on the line? Yeah, like maybe he got an incentive on the line? Maybe that's it? Yeah. I don't know. He just seemed so passionate about it.
He took the over, maybe, and even needed one more bucket? I don't know. He had a bad beat.
It's just personal pride. The man wants every minute that he's on the floor to look like he cares. And I respect it.
Dominique, if it was a point of personal pride in D'Angelo Russell's effort, how do you explain the following play?
And they did not call a foul, but a jump.
That's what you fought for. That's what you fought for.
Because of people like you. So he probably went to the sideline. His teammates were like, what the hell are you doing? And then he came out there and did that. You took away D'Angelo's fire, his fight, his desire to win every play. You killed it. Now, if he's not an all-star, it's going to be because of people like you clowning him for doing his best.
Do you question if Zaya and Zaire Wade should unfollow their dad on Instagram?
All right, Dwayne Wade just turned 39, and so he decided to put this picture up on the Instagram. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, of course, the real question is, who took the picture? Like, who's just hanging around your house waiting for the moment to
that
take
looks like a
this
timer
picture.
Situation.
All right, but hold on. Like here we timer. Go. We got the kids here. The kids not really interested in this. They have no interest in seeing this. And yeah, they really might just have to unfollow their dad because this appears to be how they get down is going to be on the internet over there.
I don't know what to say about it. It's a world that I'm unfamiliar with. And the fact that he's 39 means that he's 2 years older than me. So I can't just blame it on age. Like, I am not comfortable with putting that much of my self on the internet and suggesting this much about what I'm up to. It's none of your business. But apparently, to be celebrities in this modern culture, that's part of the get down. Yeah, nope, there's no way to defend this. It's gross to be a child and see your dad up there making sexually suggestive Instagram posts. And why does he need to do this? Why does
yeah,
I mean, I guess it gets him on this show, which is everyone's goal in life.
Yeah, I mean, they've certainly made a whole business out of, like, here's everything we do together and how cute it is. And to Bo's point, I'm always wondering who's taking the photos. This one might be an automatic timer situation, leaning against the bathroom mirror. We can't say for sure, but I think they might have just hired someone who walks around and takes photos all the time, just based on the amount of content that they produce every day. As for the kids, I get it. Like, we've all been young enough to be grossed out by our parents getting it on. But at the same time, if you think that your dad at 39 is not getting it on, then you're going to be sorely mistaken when he's 79 and he's still posting pictures like
yeah.
this. So you better get used to it now. Old people have sex.
Yeah. Old people having sex is not their problem. Putting it on the internet is where the issue comes up here, right? Like, I don't know where this other... I just feel like you just like
no.
doing stuff like that.
I mean,
the
I
issue
I
is
do,
clearly...
But-
that they put it in front of everybody.
Tomorrow at 3:30 a.m. Eastern, 36ers versus Phoenix.
So this is Australian basketball. 36ers. That is where we're going. Apparently there's a Phoenix in Australia. I had no idea. We're going to go to a timeout and hear a coach. Let's find out what passes for coaching in Australia.
Gets it. Dribbles there. That's the first roll. It's there. You've over dribbled. You haven't even played.
Okay. I don't know what play you're going to run now. Everybody seems to be a bit surprised. Sarah, we'll let you say first whether or not you are intrigued.
I mean, I'm mostly surprised because we heard that unedited, and I assume it's going to be bleep before it goes out to the good people of America. I am intrigued. I want to know how he over-dribbled the coach because he said, I'm like, what, like in your playing days or like during this game? Or like, is that a metaphor for how you've over-coached and micromanaged? Like, what are we doing here?
I want to see the next possession. I'm on that team. I don't dribble once. You pass it all the way down the floor, not one dribble, just pass it all the way down the floor, pass it all around, and shoot a shot, and then come back to the sideline and see what he has to say.
Streaming online, Rivals.
So this is like a Guinness Book of World Records type of show, and in the long history of Highly Questionable, we've shown a lot of people trying to crack walnuts and break records. Here are two people trying to break the walnut cracking record.
One, go.
Yes.
Is there a concussion protocol after this?
I was going to say, I don't want to make light of this, but this is like tiny little concussive microaggressions. And this isn't even counting all the training.
There's no training for this.
Oh, absolutely. He's wearing a Pakistan jacket. There is training. He's representing his country. He has trained for this.
Does his country want him to represent for it in this way? Like, is this how they want to be seen before the world?
Notice the strategy is different. His hands are up. The other guy had hands behind the back. I don't know which one is. Mbamani, I think Dominique is the one who best knows what it looks like to not use your hands ever. What can you tell us which is more effective?
Hold on. Let's see what we got here. Look at these guys.
Naveen successfully broke 200 and...
I would think.
I mean, how could they not be?
239!
In Mohammed's attempt, he got a
total
of 250.
Yeah! You earned it!
I mean, honestly, it better be. Dominique, are you intrigued?
I mean, they should have a mirror. Like, in that moment, look at yourself. Of course I'm not intrigued.
Excuse me, Dominique. Aren't you the guy who just said leave it out on the field and every minute in play you have a point of personal pride? Well, that guy gave his all, and now he owns a world record for the world's dumbest thing.
You're right. I left out one important question. How much was he getting paid?
Well, now he gets to sign a world record on his signature, and I think it's the same as Hall of Fame. It goes up at least $50 every time.
All right, that is our show. Check out Dominique Foxworth on The Undefeated. Sarah Spain, That's What She Said. It's a podcast. Check it out.
And listen to Bomani Jones, The Right Time with Bomani Jones.
That's
so
how
much
you
enthusiasm.
Do.
So much enthusiasm.
I have a friend of mine who played college basketball, and the coach at some point told him that he was no longer allowed to dribble. He was absolutely not allowed to dribble. And he said the day that he stopped loving basketball is the day that he caught the ball and he wasn't allowed to dribble. And he got called for 10 seconds behind the half court line because he caught the ball and he was not allowed to dribble.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.